Blog Talk Radio.
You are now tuned into Chaos Radio. Your host, Derek Oliver. Controversial, chaos, and committed, spiritual chaos for your listeners.
Take over for a minute, but I just texted him and called him, and you know, I hope everything's all right.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I don't mind.
Yeah, the thing is, I got to get, I'm going to have to mute this one second. Hold on. I got to get ready for work, and if I go on, if you go on, I won't have no way to unmute him.
You want to know where to
add him? Say that one more time.
Yeah, you want a way to add him? Is that what you're saying?
Right. I won't have a way to put him in.
Okay.
But I'm going to stick around for a few more minutes. If you just want to start, I'm just going to mute this, and I'm going to try to find him. And if you hear him when he come on, I mean, I got him. If not, I'm going to make sure he's all right.
Okay, then. That's fine. I'll be on an hour if he don't come on, because that's how long I'm on Wednesdays, about an hour. So,
okay. We'll go ahead again, Doc. I'm going to start.
Right,
when the music When the music ends, you'll be on.
All right, then. All right. Cool.
It's only going to go for about 15 seconds.
Okay.
The name of this song is just simply Total Praise.
All right, hello and welcome to Watchmen on the Wall, Wednesday night service. Hopefully everyone is doing well. This is Tim the Overseer sitting in until our brother comes on the air. Hopefully he'll be joining us pretty soon. So without any delays, amen, I'm going to go ahead and jump right in. I'm going to go ahead and say a prayer. Before I do, I just want to give some shout out to the Heavenly Father. We are thankful for our life, our soul, our health and strength. I am thankful for life itself, and most of all, I'm thankful for my eternal soul salvation. I thank the Most High for saving my soul and blessing me, my wife and children, my entire family, amen, just blessing us with salvation and eternal life. And I pray and hope that you and yours truly will do the exact same thing. I'm praying for anyone out there that has not received salvation yet. Well, there is still time if you are breathing, as my old man used to always say, as long as you are alive, there's opportunity and chance. Amen. There's opportunity and chance as long as you are alive. Amen. So I'm praying for all the non-believers, saints that are playing around in church. We're praying for everyone right before it is too late. Amen. So without further ado, I want to go ahead and a quick prayer. We're going to go ahead and jump into some scriptures, and hopefully this brother will come on our air and join us soon, all right? Amen. So let's go ahead and start with a word of prayer. Dear most gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you. Thank you for this day. We thank you for your daily bread. We thank you for our life, soul, health, and strength. We thank you for the many blessings that you bestowed upon the saints. We thank you for all you're doing. We thank you for our increase. We thank you for a roof over our head, clothes on our back, shoes on our feet, food on our table. We thank you for our income, dear Heavenly Father. We thank you for our opportunities in life, dear Heavenly Father. We thank you for opening up doors and blessing us. And we are just thankful, dear Heavenly Father, for the doors that you're going to continue to open for your children, dear Heavenly Father, for we're looking for the return, dear Heavenly Father. And even if he doesn't return in our time, dear Heavenly Father, we are praying, most gracious Heavenly Father, that you bless us to be prepared, the Heavenly Father, and that we do your holy will and return. We bless and praise your holy name forevermore. Amen. Amen. All right, so we're going to go ahead and we're going to jump into the word. The brother's going to join us soon. So we're just going to freestyle until the brother comes on the air. Hopefully he'll make it. Hopefully he's okay. Amen. We're praying for the brother, and just make sure that we are praying for one another as the saints of God. Amen. So with that being said, amen. So what do we want to talk about this night? So let's talk about, amen, we're going to start out with a little eternal life, and we're just going to kind of just let the Spirit guide us from there. I know we've been talking about eschatology and the study of end time things. There's a lot of things that we could talk about. Amen. But we just want to just take a minute and just talk about salvation and how good our God is. Amen. We thank you for eternal salvation. We're looking for blessing salvation to be so simple. Amen. Only man complicates salvation. God doesn't complicate salvation. God keeps everything simple. Amen. Only man and Lucifer, amen, has complicated things, and he's had the men that serve under him to make things complicated for mankind. Amen. While they make things simple and easy for themselves, amen. They have set themselves up for and prestige, scratching one another's back. It's been the same way since the very beginning of time, amen. So it's nothing new, but this is what's happening. This is what's going on, is that mankind allows one another to prosper, amen. So in other words, if you serve Lucifer, amen, if you make Lucifer, amen, they're going to allow doors to open for you and allow things to go your way. And what I've noticed in life, amen, is that there are certain avenues or doorways to take. I've met several people along the way in my life, and I've noticed certain things about them, amen. There's nothing wrong with the, and I'll give you an example of what I'm saying. My eldest brother, my oldest brother, he went to college, graduated, got his degree. He was in a fraternity. And one thing I learned, amen, even though he wasn't around me, I've learned over the years is that people who go to school and get education, and just from being around other people that I know, friends, associates, they look out for one another when they're in those fraternal orders, the sororities. You know that on a collegiate level they have the Greeks, and then on the on another level they have the Masons and the Eastern Stars. And my brother was telling me about a good friend of his, a female friend of his, and I was just thinking, you know, about how these people join these organizations. He was just saying to me, you know, that's how she's able to get all these good jobs. And I was just saying to myself, yep, you're right. That is how they're able to get all these good jobs. Now, I've always heard, I've heard people in Mason and Masonry brag about how they get loans, how they get stuff other people can't get. They get good jobs. He was also telling me about one of his partners, how he believes he's a Mason because it's like this guy's been to prison and he gets out of a good job. So I'm like, what? And so it's just funny how when you basically serve the world system, how it favors you. Now, I'm not saying that that to make because I've been blessed and fortunate without that. Not everybody takes that path. You know, the people who believe God, God will also open up doors for believers. Amen. So I just know there's going to be favoritism in the world system for people who take that path, but God watches over us as believers. Amen. And as believers, take away for us. He will open up doors for us because why? He has the last say so. Open doors that no man can close, and to close, we're grateful, amen, to the Most High God for his blessings and what he has bestowed upon the children, amen, bless this one. So, and I'm talking about some salvation. Excuse me, I think I want to go sleep a little early tonight. So we're going to go over to St. John. And we're going to look at some scriptures that that deal with eternal salvation. And the reason I brought up the world system and how we need not worry about that or get frustrated or jealous of what people in the world have. We shouldn't envy them. Our reward is soon to come. We believe that our reward is coming soon. And we know that we're going to receive the best and by far the greatest reward. What is that? Eternal life. Now, we talked about last week, the king is coming. We talked about that. The king is coming, so you guys better get ready. Make sure you have your house in order. Make sure you're ready. Amen. I tell people all the time, you know, everybody talks about the king is coming, Christ is on his way back. That's good, but are you ready? Make sure that your house is clean. Make sure that your house is in order. When I say your house, make sure your house, I'm talking about you personally, nobody else, because you have to stand before God. So make sure that you are ready for the return of Christ. And not only that, amen, make sure that, you know, you're, if you have a spouse, you know, talk to your spouse. We should be talking to our spouses. I mean, to me, it doesn't make any sense to be married to someone. I know sometimes people can get with people and be unequally yoked. We understand before we even learned about what unequally yoked was, a lot of people in the church was getting married. A lot of people in the world was getting married before we even understood what being unequally yoked is. It just happens, you know. We see people, we get infatuated with people because of the way they look, maybe because we think they sexy or they fine or they cute. They got good hair. They got pretty eyes. They got a nice body. Are they sexy? They fine. They got the curves. They got the muscles. Whatever it is, they dress nice. They got money. So many different things that we look at when it comes to attraction. And so a lot of times we overlook the way people are, whether they are crazy, whether they have a nasty attitude or just a bad person. Sometimes we overlook that because we are so infatuated with people because of what they have or what they may look like. And so sometimes we are overlooked that. But for the most part, amen, we need not worry about favoritism, okay, because our rewards are coming, okay. And so I know a lot of times I've heard people say, well, I'm not waiting on no pie in the sky. I want my pie right now. I said, okay. I'm not saying that you can't have some good things in this life because we can, but your ultimate focus and goal should always be the kingdom of heaven. Amen. Don't get so wrapped up in this life. And that's what Christ said, because if you begin to love the world, the Bible talks about that. In fact, let me see if I can find that scripture right real quick. Let me see if I can go there. Because we don't want to get into loving the world. Amen. And because we get to loving the world, then we are in trouble. Okay. Let me just read the scripture. So the scripture will make a lot more sense. 1 John, the second chapter, verse 15 and 17. 1 John, the second chapter, verses 15 through 17. Let's read what it says. The Bible says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. So we're going to stop right there. Love not the world. Okay, it's okay to love your mom, your dad, your brothers, your sisters, your cousins, your aunts, your uncles, your children, your parents, your grandparents. It's okay to love people. Loving people is a good thing. In fact, God commands us to love him first and to love our neighbors just like we love one another. But if you notice, the Bible says, love not the world. In other words, what does it mean when it says love not the world? The world system, what the world has to offer. You know, people get so caught up into what the world has to offer. Not only that, the things that are in the world, okay? Not only just the system. I know we enjoy this life. We enjoy nice cars, nice, beautiful homes. You know, you go on TV or social media and see the beauty of the world. This is how Satan does. He offers us the kingdom of the world. I remember when he tried to tempt Christ after Christ came back from 40 days and nights of fasting. He tried to come to Christ when Christ was the most vulnerable. And that's what Satan does. He attacks you when you are the most vulnerable. And, you know, that's his aim. That's his goal, you know, to try to get you when you're vulnerable. He wants to offer you the world. Hey, look at this. You can have all these things. You know, you go to college, you go to school, you join this fraternal or sorority order. Amen. Not knocking people in those organizations, because some of those people in those organizations are woke to the truth. I'm not saying that you can't be a part of those organizations and be saved, but it's kind of difficult. You can come out of it is what I mean. Knowing about salvation and then going into those organizations, that's highly questionable because you know what they are. If not, you should. Now, there are people who were probably not knowing when they joined them, and then once they became warned or brought into the light of the truth of the word and the spirit of God, then they should have anything to do with it. I mean, you know, I know you're going to associate with people, but it's not the same, okay? I remember I used to have friends, people I used to associate with. I know that one of the things I used to love to do in Dallas was skate. I used to love to skate. And my friend, we used to go skating every Sunday night and Thursday night. I used to love to skate. But you know, as I became saved, I stopped doing a whole lot of things. You know, I didn't hang around those people like I used to. You know, the things I used to love to do, I had a distaste for. Now, every now and then I would go maybe once or twice a year, but after a while that faded out, you know. And then I had to put in my mind, because we mature what? Spiritually. You know, I didn't stop. I stopped kind of immediately, but not immediately, meaning that I would go haphazardly after I got saved. You know, it went from every Sunday, twice a week, every Sunday and Thursday, it went from that to, you know, once a month, once every 3 months, twice a year, miss some years, and that's just what it does. And it became to the point to where I'm not interested in doing that anymore. And so a lot of times when you are aware of things, because you do have the Spirit of God living in you, you don't have a taste for it. You don't have a taste. You definitely don't have a taste, at least I didn't, for going to clubs. You know, it was always just a bad situation. I mean, I was sharing with this brother the other week, You know, we were just talking about some spiritual things about our past lives, and it just seemed like every time I would go out to a club, something bad would happen. And to me, I was like, you know what, this is just too much for me. You know, something would always happen. I said, nah, you know what, I'll find somewhere else to hang out and find something else to do. And so it just kind of got to that point. And this was even before I was saved. So when I got saved, I was hardly going out. I was like really going out sporadically. The clubs just was never really my thing. But, you know, as you are delivered and have the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, you know, there's just some things that you just kind of, you know, you just kind of grow away from. You just mature away from naturally. And not that your heart doesn't desire to do those things. There are times that I reminisce, you know, I do. I always say to myself, man, I remember me and my friend, we used to go have fun and go skate. Doesn't mean I want to go out there and do it again. You know, if I had the opportunity, I'd probably like, nah, you know, I'm older and mature now. I just don't get into those things. And so that's just how it is. And so I said, you know, I'm good where I'm at in life, and I'm thankful for where I'm at, you know, because we don't desire to go back and do a lot of things that we used to do. Amen. And so moving on. Okay. And, we're talking about love, not the world. Okay. So, again, we know that things are glamorized, you know, and one of the things that comes to mind to me is how they make brand new cars every year. I'm like, why do they have to make a brand new car every year? Is that necessary to make a brand new car every year? The world is so wealthy, and the world has actually become so greedy that they just want money, money, money. It's not necessary to make a new car every year. Because how often do I buy a car? How often do you buy a car? We don't buy a car every year. Now, we know some people lease them and they don't keep them. Some people buy them and buy a new car every year. They drive so long, they get a new car. But because the world is so wealthy, especially this country, the United States, is so wealthy and full of riches and just, let's just say, just full of greed and evil. Let's just call it what it is. That this is what men do. And so we can get caught up into so many things. They bring out new TVs or just new stuff. You know, every time you look up, there's something always advertised in your face, glamorized, make more money, buy jewelry, buy cars, buy houses, buy clothes, do this, travel, vacations. And so what they do is they make you work hard and try to make all the money that you can to focus on, you know, to buy a lot of stuff that we probably don't need, to own stuff that, you know, when we have it, people, you know, who cares, you know, at the end of the day. But this is Lucifer. This is Satan's plan, divisive plan to distract man, especially this day and time. And we know that Daniel talks about knowledge in the last days. Christ talks about it. Mainly Daniel talks about it. But him and Christ both talk about how the tribulation is going to be like the worst time on earth. And right up leading to the great tribulation, knowledge shall be increased. And this is what we're seeing. We're seeing knowledge is being so increased. Now, they got this new iPhone that's out. Talking about it takes pictures as good as, like, I guess, like a movie or something. I just laugh at a lot of this stuff. Because it's never ending, man. It's like the technology is just continually. And I've already said this before, that the technology that they're sharing with us is really not new. This is ancient, old technology. This stuff was actually, you know, far before us. And in ancient time, the fallen angels, when they came to earth, they gave their offspring, which were the Nephilim, they gave them some of the best technology. So we think we're really looking at something. We look at planes, cars. We're like, oh, that's nice. We look at jet planes. I love jet planes. And I just think about all this stuff that's in the world. You know, it's made to entice us to love the world, to distract us from God. All these TV shows. You got video games. You got social media. You got all this entertainment. So much entertainment is just in your face that the world has to be entertained. I don't care if they go out to eat and go to the bars. That's entertainment. They go to football games, baseball games, basketball games. That's entertainment. You got entertainment on the TV. All this distractions to keep you from praising God. And while you are not praising God, guess what? You're actually losing gifts the more you spend time on doing these other things. And Lucifer knows that. Lucifer knows if I can distract, even the ones that are saved, yeah, he may go to heaven, but we're going to cause him or her to lose some gifts. So they won't get to enjoy some of these things in heaven because they're going to lose out some gifts. Even though we're saved, now remember, the greatest gift is salvation, to get into the kingdom. Just eternal life itself is going to be mind-blowing. So even if you was to not even receive any rewards for your work, you're still going to be grateful to be in heaven because, one, you're not going to be in the lake of fire burning for all eternity, fire and brimstone. That's number one. But number two, you're going to enjoy your new home. Christ said, in my Father's house are many mansions. And he said, I'll go to make a place for you. And we know this is talking about the new city, the new Jerusalem. It's going to be so grand and so huge that, you know, the description of it is going to be so beautiful according to Revelation. So as you can see, if you read the Bible and study the Bible, you can say, man, this new heaven is going to be, man, it's going to be immaculate. I'm going to get a brand new home. There will be no darkness, no night, no space, or none of that. What we're going to be is not. It's going to be so immaculate, so beautiful, no darkness nowhere, no need of a sun or a moon, because it won't be the God is going to light the kingdom. The new heaven and the new earth is going to be so beautiful that it's undescribable. So that's why we don't love the world. Don't get me wrong. I enjoy things of this life, but I don't love it to that extent to where, you know, hey, I got to have God, because that's what my heart is focused on. That's where my heart is, with the Most High God. Okay? So back to the scripture, 1 John, the second chapter, verse 15. It says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. Okay? The devil entices us with the number one thing. What is that? Sex. The fallen angels came to earth and saw the beautiful women. The women of men are so beautiful. We know that as real men. We know that. Women are so beautiful. They are. They are beautiful. And, man, when the angels saw the women, they said, man, we're coming down to the earth. You see that? Walking? And so they desired to come down to the earth. And so that's one of the things that they try to entice us with is sex. Okay? So we have to be careful not to be caught up. Again, especially at this day and time, we know that we're getting near because so many things and so much wickedness is accelerated. That's how we know that we're getting close to the return of Christ. Now watch this. Watch the scripture that says, if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. That's why we should not love the world. We should not lust and desire for so many different things. It's okay to want things and like things. I like new cars. I like beautiful homes. There are times where I wish I would have a nicer, newer home and a bigger home or things like that. We all do. It's okay. We're human. But don't get to the point to where you – I remember this one time, this guy – I can't remember where. He was just – I think I was in the world at the time. He said, I'll do anything for money or something, he said. I was just like thinking in my mind, you'll do anything for money. What do you mean you'll do anything for money? And so, again, we have to be careful because when you have that type of mentality, you see that these are the people that if they're not careful, if they don't have salvation, that doorway opens up for demons. And demons was what caused people to error, to err. People will kill for money. People will steal for money, steal from their loved ones, hurt their loved ones. People will carjack people for cars. Rob banks. People put their life in danger, in jeopardy. They'll put their freedom in jeopardy. For what? Love of the world. They're trying to get a piece of the pie. You know, people are hacking into the people accounts online, steal money. People will deceive people online. I work for a bank. I see it every day, all day. People are deceived, and it's just sort of stuff that just amazes me what people fall for. I'm just thinking in my mind, you fell for that? That's like the oldest trick in the book. It's like, how do you fall for somebody tricking you over something? I tell people all the time, I tell my customers, if it sounds too good to be true, you best believe it is, okay? If it sounds too good to be true, it is. That's just my motto that I live by. I ignore a lot of those little ads and videos and all this stuff that be on social media. Oh, look, you can make this much money in this short of time, $40,000 in 1 week. Yeah, right. And I'm not saying that it's not possible. I'm sure that there's somebody out there that's doing it. But, you know, the chances of you duplicating that, people sharing that with you, what do people always do? Oh, it's $2,000 or $3,000, and then next thing you know, you hit over the head, and they're leaving out something. I guarantee you, they're leaving out something when they tell you you can make this kind of money. You didn't pay $2,000 or $3,000, they didn't let you on. And then it's like something missing. You're not making the money. Then they'll tell you, oh, you're not making the money because you're not working hard enough. Yeah, right. They've left something out. So if you want to make that type of money, you make the blueprint. You be the trendsetter. You come up with your own way to make that type of money in a short amount of time, and you be the one to share it with people. And be honest, you know, because a lot of times when people do those type of things, I feel like they're just not being honest. They're not being upfront and sharing everything with you on how they're doing it. That's why so many people don't you know, stick around long. And I understand some people are just not made out and cut out for business or whatever, but I just think there's just more to it. Or maybe they didn't sold their soul. I've been hearing that too. A lot of people I hear on these social media sites have sold their soul to make that kind of money. Now, you know, I don't know what entertainers make. I know some athletes make pretty good, but there are some people on social media that's out here selling stuff that's making tens of millions of dollars a year. Again, I've heard that they sold their soul. So, again, you see that there people love the world. I mean, these people love the world. If you look at people who are entertainers, athletes, people who make lots of money, they love the world. Again, I tell you, I work for a bank. I see tens of millions of dollars in people's account. And a lot of times I do wonder, man, what they do for a living. How are they making this type of money? You know, how long did it take them to get it? Don't think the question don't arise in my mind, because it does. On what they do to get it. You know, again, we talked about those fraternal brotherhoods and sisterhoods. You know, people do all kind of things to get where they're trying to get. And some people just know the blueprint. Somebody tells them the blueprint, they follow the blueprint. Not saying that you can't be a believer and get there, but again, it's a careful road. You have to be careful because Christ said to love not the world. Okay, we know that there were rich people in the Bible. We know Job was one of them. So I'm quite sure there was Nicodemus was considered a wealthy man. I don't know if he was rich, but he was considered wealthy. Maybe they're one and the same. But the point that I'm making is it's a challenge to be rich and love God. It really is, because people like that tend to sway towards the world. They love the world. They love what the world can give them. They love that lifestyle of being free. And you got so many people out here, let's just tell the truth, they are sexing any and everybody. They free. They can do whatever they want, whoever they want. And this is the problem with a lot of people when they get money. They feel like they are untouchable. And we've seen in the last recent years that this type of mentality and mindset has caused men to lose their freedom and in some type of way ultimately lose their lives. Because, again, you're so in love with the world, you've gotten away with so much for so long that you think that you can just do whatever to anybody. And just because you feel like they're nobody, you're so prideful and full of pride, you feel like, oh, nobody's going to know anything about them. Nobody's going to care about them. Who's going to listen to them? This is what they tell people. And so it becomes wickedness. That's what it becomes. When you love the world, it turns you to a wicked person. That's exactly what it does. It makes people wicked. I've seen people with money be very nasty. I've seen some people have some money and be very nice. I remember one of my mentors, he made pretty good money. He used to share with me the money that he used to make. He was a contractor. And this brother used to share with me the money that he used to make back in the 70s. He used to tell me back in the early 70s. This was a brother. He said he used to make $200,000, $300,000, $300,000 contracts back in the early 70s. Good money. You know, he was a believer, you know. And I'm not saying that it's not possible, but just make sure that, you know, you got your heart right. You know, you stay with God. You don't let money, like they say, you make the money. Don't let the money make you. I mean, they used to say that out there in the streets back in the 90s. I don't know if they say that now, but I used to say, yeah, you make the money. Don't let the money make you. Because so many people let the money make them. And they get so wrapped up in it and so caught up in it that they'll do anything for it. They don't care if people die. There are so many entertainers and people who are filthy rich. And you begin to hear stories, people come out and expose them about some of the things that they've done in the past, like, wow, I didn't know this person did that. Like, I recently was watching this video and reading up on some information about this big, he's a hip-hop mogul. And some of the things that he did in his past that he was associated with people dying, I didn't even know that. I'm like, what? Nobody ever talks about that. And it's because, you know, you don't know the people's past. Everything is so glamorized that the bad is like covering it up. Nobody knows about that. That's the past. And just the way people act, they're not concerned about people dying. They don't care about who dies. It's like, it wasn't me. And they're just, and here you have this one person stepping over many just to get to the top. They'll do anything to get to the top. They'll sell out anybody. And while they have, you know, made moves and shook hands with the devil, that's basically what they've done. They shook hands with the devil long before you did. They sold out certain people. They made this deal with the devil, and, you know, they made it to the top, you know, doing dirty and conniving things, and that's sad to say. And so you think about these things, like, wow, these people are doing that. This is what we're doing now. And so you think about that and say, okay. And then you have the people that come along that, you know, they just want to take care of their family. They just want to make it. And, you know, they get in the entertainment business. They get in the, you know, maybe athletes. I don't know. But entertainers, you know, rappers, hip-hop, R&B, any type of music, they'll do anything to make it. And they'll sell their soul. They end up selling out, you know. They end up saying, well, I'll do this, you know, just so I won't go back to being broke. You know, I heard some things before. My brother shared a story with me with somebody that he's with in his ministry, and told me that her brother had told her about an incident that he had being an actor, and how he was shocked how a guy who was a filmmaker came on to him. He was like, I'm not doing that. And he walked out the guy's house, you know, big, beautiful house. But this is what they do, you know. And there have been thousands of people, I can only imagine, that have walked away and said, I'm not doing that. I'm not doing that. I'm not stooping that low. I have to live and work the rest of my life. And, hey, that's me. That's just what I'm going to do. I'm not selling out. I'm not doing something that's unseemly or ugly, something that I have to be ashamed of at night. I would hate to live like that. And this is why so many people get on drugs. This is why so many people end up committing suicide. It's a sad story. So many people end up taking their lives or possibly hurting somebody else, taking somebody else's life. Because of why? What happened to them in the past? They end up hurting somebody else and taking somebody else's livelihood. And this is what happened. This is the type of thing that goes on. This is the type of evil cycle that goes on. And the fallen angels and, you know, we talked about the Nephilim, the children of the fallen angels, the giants, the people who are associated with the giants. You know, these people have sold their soul. The mankind has always had this brotherhood since the beginning of time that have sold out to Lucifer, to Satan. They say Satan is their god. And that's a sad thing, man. I mean, you know, just to say, hey, you know, I'm going to sell out for millions of dollars. But then you see these same people dead within a year. I'm like, you didn't even get to enjoy your millions. So now you're dead within a year. You're in hell, and you're in torment, and then you're awaiting the great white throne judgment. And then when you get there, you're going to be cast into the lake of fire. So what was it worth? That's why the Bible says, what profits a man to gain the whole world and yet lose his own soul? It profits nothing. Loving the world is not worth it. Because, again, when you begin to love the world, trust me, devil spirits listen to you. I remember one of my mentors, she's in ministry. She's a pastor. And she used to tell me when I was young, she said, Tim, you know, people have to be careful. She was just saying you have to be careful what you say out in the open because demons hear you. They can hear you. They know things because you are saying it. If you say you want a business, demons hear you. If you say you want to become a star or whatever, they can hear you. You may say you willing to sell your soul. They can hear you. Well, they'll call the right person to come across you. You like, man, huh? I was just thinking about that the other week. I bet you was. Then the demons hear you. Then here comes the right person all of a sudden. Wonder how they found you. And so You know, next thing you know, you hear about people going off to Hollywood and not making it, becoming homeless, strung out on drugs, being killed, murdered, dead, whatever. So many things happen to people because why? The devil wants to sift you like wheat. There were some that will make it, most won't. Because you have to have not necessarily talent, because I can tell you right now, I don't think everybody that's in acting has talent. I don't think everybody who are necessarily athletes have talent. I've seen some people that I wonder how in the world they make it. You wonder how so many people make it. And you see people who got real talent who don't make it. It's like, huh. But the point being is I think it's just about how far you're willing to go. Some people are willing to go all out for it, you know. Some don't make it. You know, some get snuffed out. But the point that I'm making, be very careful about designing the world, okay? But it says that if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not him in him, meaning that if you love the world, you need to do a fact check tonight. If you just so, and this is the best way I believe to do a fact check to see if you love the world. If you rather be here than to go back with Christ, there's a problem. I'm going to tell you right now. That sky can crack open right now. I will be so joyful and happy. Hey, I ain't looking back for nothing. Not my house, my cars, my job, family. As much as I love them, hey, I am out of here. There is nothing in this world that I love more than God. Absolutely not. There's nothing here in this world that I desire to keep back. And that was a problem with Lot's wife. That's why she died, because there was something that I believed back in either the Sodom and Gomorrah, those cities that she loved, something caused her to look back. And if you look back, you know, you love something. That's why the Bible says if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. You can't be saved. You can't look back. Look back on what? I don't look back at the days I used to party and go to the, as they used to say back in the olden days, the ta-ta bar or the strip clubs. I don't look back at that. I don't miss that. Yeah, it was fun back in the time. You know, you see stuff, you know, on television, but, yeah, that was then. You know, I don't desire to be back in that environment anymore because I know God has delivered me, and I know that he has something much better for me, okay? Again, you know, sex is the hardest-selling thing because why? It is the one sin against your temple. You know, it's the one thing that's really against your temple is when you actually sleep with another person. That's a, if it's not your wife or your spouse, you sin against your body. And that's why there's such a push for sexual sin, because why is the one sin against your body? And so, again, you know, that's the one thing that people are so they can't shake, you know, is maybe porn or sex. You know, they can't seem to shake it. And that's one thing that you have to shake. You have to pray to God, and God will deliver you from those things, okay? So, again, you don't want to get it caught up in loving the world. No, certainly, Bob. We don't love the world, okay? I like the world. Don't get me wrong. I like things here. I like things that man has done, that God has blessed us with our knowledge to do. I believe we live in a blessed age. We're not back where we outside. I had to lag. We're not outside in a hut or a tent or a teepee or out in the woods with a campfire and bugs and spiders and mosquitoes. We're not in that time. We got these nice houses. We got central AC, central heat. I had to laugh because I'm looking around like, yeah, we actually do live nice compared to the times of the past. We are definitely in the age of knowledge. Knowledge has been increased. Look how we live. We have cement floors, tile floors, toilets that flush, running water, to brush our teeth, to wash our face, our bodies, to groom our hair, beard, whatever you do. We got cologne, perfume. You name it, we got it. We are in the time of wealth. That's why we say we are in the Laodicean age, the Laodicean church, the church age, because it was a wealthy church. The church now is wealthy. Make no mistake about it. I don't care if it's even a small church. You compare our churches to third world churches and churches around the world. We are a very wealthy country. I don't care if you have 100 members, 200 members. I don't care if you have 25 members, 30 members. Okay, that's about what I had when I had my church. And we are still a wealthy nation. We are a wealthy church age. Again, I had to laugh because look at the cars we drive. We got cars you can talk on a cell phone. We got cars that drive themselves. We got cars, they say, that pretty soon going to be able to fly if the world keeps going.
I remember in Dallas, they were saying back in 2016, 2017, about 2025, they plan on having the first flying car, something to that extent. And so I think about these things, it's like, wow. You know, even though I know that this technology is old, it's nothing new. If you look on the monuments of ancient pyramids and ancient ancient ruins and ancient buildings or whatever you want to call it, they had flying machines back in time. So this is not new technology. They're just fooling you. This is actually ancient technology, and they give us these devices thinking, oh, look, we got the new iPhone. It looks like a movie. Yeah, this stuff is ancient. That stuff is thousands and thousands of years old. It's not new. The fallen angels have so much knowledge. Remember, they came from heaven. They got so much knowledge. They know stuff and have seen things that we can only imagine or even can't even imagine. So, no, this is nothing new, you know. So, anyway, we live in this divisive age. We got tablets, cell phones. We can watch TV on tablets. Never would have thought nothing like this was possible when I was a kid. You actually walk around with your tablet in a store and watch TV. That is mind-blowing. On a computer. Never thought anything like this. So if you think about people who lived in the 1800s, could they have ever imagined that we would be living like we're living now? I don't know. Because, again, knowledge has been increasing. You think about hundreds of years ago. Let's say a thousand of years ago. So if you compare a thousand years ago to 500 years ago, what must change as far as technology from 1,000 years back to 500 years back? Not much change with technology. So now you think about now in 100 years from 1900s, 1900s to 1920 to now, how much technology has grown. And I've even heard people say that they had some of the technology back in the 1800s. They were just hiding from people, that certain governments and certain people was aware of certain things they had. So I don't know. Makes you wonder. It's very possible. As I told you, this technology is not news. We like to believe that it is. You to us, they've been hiding from us. That's why it's called state of the art. State of the art means that they actually have technology that they used to say when I was a kid. Technology is actually 30 years behind, is what they say. So in other words, what we have, this technology that we have now, was actually stuff that they pretty much kind of saying that we actually had this 30 years ago, back in the early 90s, is basically what they're saying. So what stuff we're using is actually stuff that they're saying that they was able to do back 30 years ago. Now, you know, I don't know. I'm just telling you what they say, scientists say. So the technology that we should be enjoying now, people 30 years from now will get to enjoy. So they're already ahead of us, and they have to stay ahead of us. That's how they're able to do so much stuff. And amazing, it's because if they brought out everything new now, what if they run out? What if they can't produce anything better? What if they can't do it? It's like, oh, we can't make that new, nice, fancy car that flies. And so that's why they have to stay ahead of us. But again, we're talking about love, not the world, right? So let's move on. I'm over in 1 John, the second chapter, verse 16. It says, for all that is in the world, okay, that's everything that you can imagine, the lust of the flesh, again, anything that you can imagine in this world, anything that you've seen, anything that you've experienced, and the lust of the eyes, there you go, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. Okay. Now, I want to talk about the pride of life because, man, again, we know what caused Satan to fall, don't we? Pride. Satan was so beautiful that the other angels were probably looking at this cat like, man, why does this dude look good? why does this dude look better than all of us? Quite sure they had to ask that question. But he was a beautiful angel. Okay, I don't know how he looked. We can only imagine. We'll see him in the end, but we can only imagine how Satan looked. But because he was so, and you know what I've noticed about people that are good looking? I think back when I was in school, I'll never forget this chick that went to school with us. She was so full of herself. She's always talking about pretty people, and she's pretty and this, and I'm like, whatever. And it's just funny how life is. But you think about people, Even if people are not that physically attractive, if they have nice things, they were considered cool, meaning that they dressed nice. I remember some guys that just dressed nice, you know. Man, maybe they didn't have the body or whatever. Girls went into the body. But because they had certain things, and I remember that when we graduated, because we were athletes, we would see these guys when we was out. We used to go out to the club like, how'd this guy get this chick? We didn't know anything about this stuff. When we were coming out of school, we was out of high school. Like, how does this guy have a nice-looking girl like that? He looks like that. This guy had a nice car. He dressed nice, but he just looked like, what does she see in him? It's because he had money. He could offer things in this world, again, the lust of the eyes and the lust of the flesh. He could give her things that probably no other guy could. This guy was doing stuff, you know. You already know what he was doing, stuff he shouldn't have been doing illegal. And he had a nice car. He had rims on his car. He dressed, had gold chains, you know, whatever, dressed nice, clean. And, you know, you see these guys, they would be clean. They have the nice car. You decide, man, I wish I could have that. But, you know, you don't have, you know, you just graduate from school. You don't have any money. You just have a little regular little part-time job, and you just try to, you know, whatever, buy some shoes, some pants or a shirt, you know, every once or twice a month. And these guys just flossing it up, throwing money over like nothing. And so, again, this is the pride of life. Amen. It seems to be a good lesson to me. Hopefully it's a good lesson for you. I don't know. I'm enjoying it, so hopefully you guys are enjoying it. Just pray for the watchman on the wall. He doesn't seem like he's going to make it on tonight. We're almost an hour in, so I'm not going to be on here much, much more long, because I'm typically only on for an hour on Wednesdays, but I'll probably try to go just a little bit over. I'll try at least finish down to verse 17. But so back to the story. So you think about these things. It's like, man, you know, how can I get that? And you find out what these guys are doing. You think to yourself, nah, I don't want to do that because I could end up somewhere I don't want to be. You know, we knew about God. My brothers used to always tell us a story. Father, I knew none of my brothers ever did anything like that. If they did, they kind of kept it to themselves. If they did, I don't believe my brothers did. Maybe one of them. I did have a brother that actually got hooked on drugs, but, you know, God bless his soul. He's still around, but still, my mindset was that I'm not doing that. If I have to work to get it, if it takes me longer, I'll do it. And I appreciate that. I'm grateful for it. I made it. Took me many, many years to get here, but I made it. And I didn't have to sacrifice my integrity. I can sleep at night. So anyway, moving right along. So anyway, you think about this, the pride of life and the lust of the eyes. And for, like I said, for all that is in the world, we see these different things. We desire these things. You look at rappers, the lifestyle that they glorify, hip-hop, athletes, entertainers, the rich, just anybody. This is what the world puts, rich, rich, rich. They said there are more millionaires and billionaires on the planet. They claim more than ever. More people are rich now. They said so many thousands of people become millionaires per year. I'm just like, how do these people become a millionaire? Like, it's just a lot of people selling their soul out here. I don't know. I'm not saying all of them, but I'm quite sure most of them probably are. Maybe not all of them, but you just wonder about certain things. You know, just how are people getting this stuff? I'm not hating. I'm just being honest. Now, I know there are some people, like I said, I met one of my mentors. He had money. He used to show me how much money he's keeping in safe. I'm like, wow, you keep that much money at your house? I've known people, you know, to have had money. Know people now. I don't really know their relationship with Christ, but you think about certain things, you know, the people who are not going to church. I'm not talking about ones that are attending church on a basis and say they love God. I'm talking about the people who never set foot in the church. You just wonder about them. You know, you pray for them most of all that they don't lose their soul. I mean, because you think about being rich one moment, enjoying this life, have the fruits of life, just doing anything there. This is say you just after a while now, cutting up, sleeping with women, I don't know, whatever your thing is. You out here going on vacations, you got millions of dollars in the bank, and you die that night or that day. All that stuff is gone. And in hell, the Bible to Christ talks about the rich man, how he died, how he was carried off to Hades. The Bible talks about that. He also talked about the other rich guy that was wealthy. He said to his soul, "So I will store up and barns and lay up, you know, all the wealth of my work." And the Bible says, "Thou fool, this night your soul is required." These things are a reality. These things do happen. But people are so prideful. I told you I worked in the bank. I deal with people who got me. I see people with $100,000 in this account, $500,000 in this account, $1 million in this account, $2 million in this account, $5 million in this account, $100,000 over here. I'm like, this person got like 20-something account with all this money. I just wonder about people. I said, man, you know, you just only can pray for people. But as I told you before, I said the worst person to talk to about the Bible is rich people. They won't even waste the time. They won't even give you the time of the day to talk about you. They say, I got money on there. Bye. They're gone. They will not even talk to you when they got money. They are the funniest people to me. They will not talk to you. They don't want to hear nothing about God, nothing. They don't want no judgment coming to them. And they will run off. And these people who are, you know, like the LGBTQ, you know, that community, some of them were entertained. They would talk to you. And maybe they're not as prideful as rich people, because rich people are very prideful, I've noticed. They got so much pride, they ain't talking to you. Like, I ain't got to talk to you. Bye. I don't waste my time with you. But, you know, people who are just whatever, it can not only be gay or lesbian. It can be people who sleep around. I've witnessed the people who are, like, just out there in the street. They sleep around. They say to me, man, I ain't getting married. I'm seeing as many women as I want to sleep with, and you can't tell me nothing. Talk to those types of people. You know, people who are, you know, just prideful, whatever. They got their education, their knowledge. You know, they're doing good. They don't need God. They're making $100,000 a year. They don't need God. They ain't rich, but they'll say, but hey, I'm doing good. I don't need that. I'm fine. I'm doing good. You know, maybe one day I'll get interested in God when I get old. You know, you hear so many different things. But anyway, let's move on and finish up the scripture. We're going to get ready to close out here pretty soon. But you think about these things. These things come to mind. They come to heart, you know, when you hear these different types of things, you know, from people. And all thing you can do is pray for people. You love them. You don't judge them. Because we all pass through the path of sin. The Bible said that we are born in sin. We are born in sin. And so let's go ahead and look at let's finish up verse 16 and go into verse 17. But remember what it says. It says, "And the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world." It's not of God. And so you think about also about the part we're in the Laodicean church age. You think about these mega ministries, okay? And I'm not, don't say, or say I'm judging or not. I'm just speaking the truth. It's hard for me to believe that all of them or say that they're not preaching salvation. They're not teaching love. You see so many of these pastors, they you know, money is their thing. I mean, man, it's like I can't even listen to a pastor that talks about money all the time. That's all God talks about. You don't ever talk about Christ and salvation and love and return of Christ and, you know, love thy neighbor. Never hear anything. You know, he's giving some motivational speeches and he tell you about how you become rich and if you do this and do that. You know, to me, that's just very prideful. You know, the Bible says that the love of the Father is not in the person like that. The person is of the world. And you know, the scripture says, if you're of the world, the love of the Father is not in them. You can't love the world. You can't be out here talking about your money and all this. I remember one time we went to this church, actually where we used to reside in Lewisville, Texas. We went to this church. The pastor was cool. He was kind of a cool guy. I kind of liked him. My wife didn't want to be a part of his church because he seemed like he was always bragging. And one time he said something about him being a millionaire. He used to talk about the money. It was funny. But, you know, a lot of times when I go to churches, I really try to hear the word. I really try to hear. I don't judge. Unless you just go way off to the left, then I have to leave. But, you know, I try to ignore some of the things that people say because I got it. You know, maybe sometimes when I talk, people feel like I'm boasting and bragging. But I'm not, at least I don't try to, but sometimes people think I am. And I try to look past stuff like that. I try to find, okay, where is he teaching about love? Where is he teaching about salvation? Where is he talking about the return of Christ? Where is he talking about how do I get to heaven? See, that's what I'm listening for. I can deal with you bragging sometime about maybe you got a $200,000 car, because there's a lot of wealthy pastors in the metro. There's a lot of people. A lot of people are not aware of this about Dallas or in Texas, especially the major city. There are so many mega churches with over 2,000, 10,000 people in the church. People are not aware about that here in Texas. They call Texas the home of the mega churches because there are mega churches that you will never even hear about. They'll never be on TV. They'll never be – you'll just never hear about them. It's like, wow. You know, there's so many churches in the metro, especially in Dallas and Houston metro, that you'll never hear about. They got thousands and thousands of members, but you'll never hear about the pastor. It's a quiet-kept church. They have the services. They go home. Again, I can deal with it, you know, with the pastor maybe boasting and bragging about what he's blessed with. But as long as he's teaching the word, I can look over that. But if you're always talking about what you got, it's not like you love the world a little too much. I can't do that, okay? But all in all, we love not the world. Focus on loving the Heavenly Father. Focus on what you're going to have in this afterlife, okay? Verse 17, we're going to get ready to show it now. It says, and the world passeth away. Why should you not love the world? The world's going to pass away. Only what you do for who Christ shall last. Not what you do on this earth. That's why, it used to kind of bother me a little bit because some things I didn't really get to accomplish in life. And I think about people who make it, who we say make it. Maybe they become a pro athlete or an entertainer, or they got a business making millions of dollars. It's like, man, I went to school with this guy, or this girl's doing good. She's doing good in her business, or this guy made it to the NFL. We think about people like that, and we kind of feel like, man, I kind of wish I would have did something, And we kind of think like that. I know at times I have in the past. I'm not going to lie. There are times where, maybe I wish I would have made more money or, maybe even become a millionaire. That has crossed my mind at some point in the past. But for the most part, you get past that. You get over that. Amen. And so,
Brother Tim,
and the world. Amen, Dr. Hey, how you doing? Hey, man, been waiting on you, man.
Hey, man, I'm sorry, man.
Nah,
you
all right,
back.
Man. I'm glad everything's okay, brother. It was good to hear your voice. That's the whole thing that matters. That's good.
I went to sleep 15 minutes after 9. I woke up.
Hey, man, I understand. I feel
so bad, man, but I can take it from here. You go ahead, and I'm gonna take you. I'm on now. So I'm watching my ball is back.
I thank you for the opportunity.
All right.
Oh, you were, man.
Right.
No problem, brother. No problem. I got your back, man. No problem, man. I'm gonna be off here in a minute. I'm gonna turn over to you. Let you go ahead and finish up. But yeah, man, it's good to hear from you, and I'll talk to you. I'm just gonna finish this last.
I sure will.
Yes, sir. All right. And so we're just talking about the love, not the world. Love, not the world.
Right.
Love God, because only what you do for Christ will last for all eternity.
Yeah.
Only what you do for Christ.
Yeah.
And this is why the scripture says, "And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof." So all these things that you love. Your nice cars, your nice house, your flat screens, your watches, your rings, your jewelry, your women, your men, whatever you like to do, man. People out here have orgies. Man, you hear about so many crazy, unbelievable things. You're like, what? I remember when I was a kid, when I was young in high school, I used to hear about those. I'm like, how in the world are these guys doing this stuff? I'm just going to be real with you. I never experienced none of those things. It's probably good because I probably would have loved the world. Probably good to God. I think some things didn't happen for me because God knew my heart deep down and probably just didn't want me to fall in love with the world, for me to fall away from him and want me to stay. He had something for me. Maybe this is what he had for me. But some certain things just didn't happen for me, and I'm okay with it now. I look back and say, there's a lot that I didn't get to do. Maybe I was just a square. I don't know. But, I'm grateful for my life, and I think about
–
a lot of things, all the things that people are doing is going to pass away. So then it says, It says, but he that do the will of God abideth forever.
Yes.
That's what I'm at. That's what I want to do. I want to do the will of God. So therefore,
amen.
All the rewards that I receive in this life, I will get to enjoy in the afterlife for all eternity. So, brother, that's my word for today. My message was I was just freestyling, you know. So that scripture, I was reading that scripture came to my mind, so I read it and freestyled it. So, brother, I'm going to give it over to you. God bless you, brother. I love you. I'm glad that everything is okay with you. You can sleep. And
all right.
I'll be all with you, though.
Okay. All right, brother. All right.
All
this
right,
is Watchman on the Wall. I owe my audience out there apology. I'm so sorry that I didn't get in on time. I was sitting up here. I went fishing today, and I got back home and did a little yard work. And by the time of the conference to come on the air, I sat down a little bit and nodded my head, and I dropped my head. And by the time that I woke up, it was 15 after 9. I said, oh, my God, I don't miss the program. So my brother, thank God for Brother Tim. He picked me up. Amen, and kept it on until I can get on. So I'm on now. I got an hour to do. And what he was talking about is real. What he's talking about is real. That goes back to Jesus Christ gave us a role model in the scripture where he said, what profit a man, what would you get if you gain the whole world? I mean, all that you can have. All that you can think on, what you can have, all the pleasure, all the money, all the women, all the materialistic things of this world, you can hog it up. And most likely you won't live more, maybe 80 years. You may live 70 years. You may live 40 years. You may live 30 years. You may live 20 years. And be a millionaire, have all what you want, and yet still turn around the next day and the Lord calls you home, or you die of some kind of disease, or you die of an accident, and you got all this world. You have, of course, no man can gain the whole world. I mean, you can gain enough because you can attain so much, because the more you attain, remember, the more you attain, it takes years to get it, and the more years you have, the older you get, and the older you get, you can't do what you want to with all that you got. You got to leave it to somebody else, and then when you die, you leave it here, and then if your soul, woo, good God Almighty, if your soul is lost, if your soul is without Christ, if your soul don't know the real meaning of true salvation, I ain't talking about this salvation that people carrying around talking about they know Jesus and doing everything they want to do, say anything they want to do, go anywhere they want to do, cuss out whoever they want to cuss out, go to church when they want to do, tell people off or have all the money, and then die without Jesus Christ. Die without knowing the shed blood on Calvary. Is the only thing that has power enough to redeem your soul from hell. Not only redeem your soul from hell, but redeem your soul from the bottomless pit, which is Gehenna, the lake of fire. I'm going to go on in prayer right now before I go any further. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I ask you to forgive me, Lord, for being late and not being on time. I just napped off and took a little shed eye, and I missed my program. But we thank you, Lord, that I'm able to be on tonight, because I don't want to miss this. I don't want to miss telling anybody about Jesus Christ. Oh, my God. I ask you right now in the name of Jesus, speak to my heart, speak to my mind, my soul, and my spirit, that I speak out of your word. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. But, brother, I thank Brother Tim. He brought up a good subject there. And John, love not the world, nor the things that's in the world. Whoever loves the world, the love of the Father is not in it. In other words, if you love the world more than anything in the world, then Jesus Christ, the love of the Father is not in it. So in other words, to overcome the world is through the redemption blood of Jesus Christ. I've overcame the world. I have overcame the world. How do you overcome the world? Through faith in Jesus Christ. Because Jesus Christ got more than the world can ever offer you. The world can't offer you love. The world can't offer you eternal redemption. The world can't offer you the blood of Jesus Christ. The world cannot offer you the burial, death, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The world can't offer you the return of Jesus Christ. The world can't offer you deliverance from this present evil world when Jesus Christ comes from heaven with a shout, with the voice of archangels, and remove your soul from this rugged planet. This is a rugged planet. This is an evil planet. The world is full of devils and demons and diabolical demigods. Oh, people are doing anything outside of the holiness of God. Men are going crazy. Women are going crazy. Children are going crazy. Teenagers are going crazy. Preachers are going crazy. Oh, my God. Oh, my. I thank God. Amen. I'm still in my right mind. I know who I came from. I know where I'm going. I know who died for my sins, that I can be delivered from the pits of hell and degradation and the Gehenna of fire, of lake of fire, from God's wrath, from God's wrath. I have escaped God's wrath because who took it from me? Who took my wrath? Who took the anger of God? Who took the misery on Calvary's cross? Nobody but Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ took my sins. And God, through his son Jesus Christ, took the wrath upon him. My sins were laid upon Jesus Christ. And by my faith in Jesus Christ, my sins have been washed away. I am a spotless individual by the blood of Jesus Christ. Not by works, not by my looks, not by what I say, not by where I go, but by the blood of Jesus Christ. And seem like the world today is in love with the world. People today are in love with the world. And by being in love with the world, the love of the Father is not in you. And if the love of the Father is not in you through Jesus Christ, you are lost. You are undone. You need a Savior. You need to be born again. You need to be washed in the blood. You need to fall on your knee right now, and confess your sins. Not to me. Don't confess it to the preacher. Don't confess it to the Pope. Don't confess it to nobody but Jesus Christ. And admit in your heart that you are a sinner, born in sin, shaped in iniquity. Then my mother conceived me. Lord, have mercy. And be like David. Lord, create in me a clean heart that I may not sin against thee, because we are absolutely living in the last days. This is it. This is it, brother, sister. This is it, sister, brother. This is it, because Jesus Christ is soon to return to this earth. He's going to suspend himself in the mid of the air in the heavenlies, and he's going to call out the church in a moment of a twinkling of an eye, and the dead in Christ shall rise, and we that remain alive shall be called up to meet the Lord in the air, and I'm going to leave this world. I hate the worldly system. I hate the way people are sinning against God. Sometimes I resent myself for sinning against God. But I ask the Lord, thank you, 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 thank you for saving my soul, that I no more can sin against you. Now, what you talking about, preacher? If we're born in sin, shaped in iniquity, how can you stop sinning? You can stop sinning by being born again. That's the sin of unbelief. But there are still sins of the flesh, and that's what we are fighting now. But let me tell you, those sins of the flesh that you commit, if you are saved, God can wash them away. Amen. He is continually motivating you to grow and grow and grow and grow. Paul said, I said, Apostle Paul said, when I wanted to do good, he was present with me. He said, oh, wretched man that I am. He said, who can deliver me from this body of death? In other words, sin is still in the body, but sin is not in the soul, and sin is not in the spirit. Why? Because Christ has saved your soul. That's what's going to heaven. This body will never come in the presence of God in heaven. Woo! This body will never come in the presence of God in heaven. So I must receive a new body. And this new body will be the body of Christ, the same body, amen, that he was resurrected in. I'm going to have a resurrected body where there will be no sin no more. You hear what I said? No sin, no more, because I will have a glorified body. You talking about a body. This body will be able to go through space beyond the galaxy, beyond the quasar, beyond until the glories of God. And I will stand before the judgment seat of Christ in my new body. I will not stand before Christ in this body that I have, which is earthly body. This earthly body is frivolous. This earthly body is sickly. This earthly body has sin in it. This earthly body is wrong. Woo, it's wrong. But Christ is going to make it right. So when I stand before him, I'll stand before him pure, without sin, nowhere, no more, forever to be judged. Now you think about that. You think about that. This body is sick. This body hurts. This body got pain. This body cries. This body is agony. This body can get depressed. This body needs anxiety. Everything. I mean, this thing is, ooh, is in, this thing is fallible to everything. You can drown with a teaspoon of water. You can fall down the steps and break your neck and die. It's so easy. Amen. People say, well, it's hard to die. It's easy to die. It's easy to die. People are dying every day. People are dying just by dying. People are dying of old age. Young folks are dying because of crime. Ooh, babies are dying because of abortions. Ooh, people are dying. And the world is saying, what's going to happen soon? What's going to happen? What's getting ready to happen? I'll tell you what's getting ready to happen. Jesus Christ is getting ready to rapture the church because the world can no longer hold on. It's got to come to an end. God's mercy is the only thing keeping us here. God's righteousness is the only thing keeping us here, because he's given everybody an opportunity to accept him, even those that's in prison, those that's in the sane asylum, those that's on the street corner, those that's in madness, those that's losing their mind. He's given them an opportunity to repent, turn from sin, death, hell, and the grave. Turn from completely from sin and turn to the righteousness, which is Jesus Christ. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Bible says, thou shalt be saved, period. But the world don't want to turn, because sin is lustful. Sin is pleasure. Sin is good. It feels good, tastes good, look good. Oh, it just feels so tantalizing. It feels so enjoyable. Oh, I just seem like I can't turn from sin. And the reason you can't turn from sin, because you don't know what the damage sin is doing to your soul. It's damning your soul to go to hell. It's liquidating the opportunity for you to turn from sin and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Because people in this sin don't believe the blood of Jesus Christ on the cross is sufficient enough to save your soul. And Paul said, preaching of the gospel to those that are lost, to those that are damned, to those that reject Christ. He said, the preaching of the cross to them that's not saved is foolishness. And the world says the cross is foolishness. Buddha, Shintoism, Taoism. Listen to this. Taoism, Judaism, Shintoism, Mormonism, Unity, Satanism, Lutherans, Christian Science, Jehovah Witness, Islam, Fashionism, Catholicism, non-denomination, some denomination churches, the KKK, Nazism, Armstrongism, voodoo, witchcraft, lesbian and homosexual religion, apostolic religion, churches around the world. Preaching of the cross to them is foolishness. But to those that are what? Saved. It is the power of God unto salvation. Preaching of the cross to those that are saved is the ultimate plan that God wants you to have. And the world is saying preaching of the cross to those that are lost, those that are damned, those that's going to be the turning lake of fire is foolishness. The world is saying the cross is a waste of time. The world saying the cross is no power in the cross. But let me tell you something. Let me tell you something. Preaching of the cross is my hope. Preaching of the cross is my joy. Preaching of the cross is all I need to exist in a torn up, messed up, crazy world that we're living in. And if you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior right now, you need to know him, because if you die without Jesus Christ in your life and repenting of your sins and calling on the name of the Lord and you die right now, your soul will spend eternity in a lake of fire, which is Gehenna, which is Gehenna, which is Gehenna. This is Brother Preacher talking to you. I ain't going to change nothing. I ain't going to even try to change nothing. What the Word of God say, I'm not even going to compromise you with the Word of God, because there's no compromise in it. I am sure, I know that the Word of God is right. And before I try to compromise the Word of God, you can hang me upside down over a lake stone, because I'm not going to compromise with you. And I guarantee that the Word of God is right. And if I'm going by the Word of God, I know that the Spirit of God is in me, and I'm telling you right, don't leave this planet without Jesus Christ. I don't care how successful you are. I don't care how much money you got. I don't care if the racial nationality which you carry. I don't care if you're black man, white man, yellow man. I don't care if you're ugly or pretty. I don't care if you're educated or non-educated. Don't leave this world without Christ in your soul. The Bible says you absolutely know with a shadow of a doubt that you have passed from death to life, because you love the brethren. You love the brethren. You love those that hate you, despitefully use you. You love white men. You love black men. You love the families of the earth. Amen. That don't know God, you love them. You love them so much that you're willing enough to sacrifice your life and go on a missionary and tell them in dangerous areas that I'm going to tell you about a man from Galilee that can save your soul from hell, save your soul from the worldly pleasures, save your soul from alcohol, save your soul from whoremongers, save your soul from, ooh, my God, I'm telling you, God can save you through his son, Jesus Christ, because there is no other name. There is no other name given among men where men can be saved than the name of the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And Apostle Paul said, I preach none other but save Jesus and him crucified. Crucifixion. They murdered the Son of God. They literally killed him, and there was no fault found in him. He was a faultless, sinless lamb. He was God Almighty. He was God Almighty in the flesh. Came and dwelt among men. He was born of a virgin Mary in Bethlehem of Judea. He was in the temple at the age of 12 years old, teaching the philosophers and theologians. He was baptized by John the Baptist at the age of 30 years old. He went up in the wilderness as he be tempted of the devil, and the devil called him and said, "Man, I know you hungry. Man, I know you hungry." But this man that I'm talking about is God, man. He said, "I know you hungry. Cast these stones into bread." And Jesus, Son of the living God, the Almighty One, the Rose of Sharon and the Lily of the Valley, said, "Man, man, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God Almighty." And let me tell you, if you're not living by the word of God Almighty, if you're not living it, expressing it, telling people about the love of God that he has for you, and living the word through the day, through the hour, through the years, good God, you ain't going to make it. And the only way you can live the word is the word that was made flesh has to live in you through the Holy Spirit. And the devil took him up to another temptation. He said, if thou be the Son of God, cast yourself down, lest your foot hit and dash against the stone, the angels will bear thee up. He was tempting the Lord God to jump down to prove to the world that he was the Messiah. He didn't have to jump home. Down on nothing. He was, he is, he will be, he will always be the Son of God. Jesus told Satan, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. In other words, the world is tempting God. The world is tempting God. People are tempting God to do something drastic, but God's mercy is holding back his wrath. Woo! And the only reason he's holding back his wrath because 2,000 years ago, God, man, came down here and took the wrath of God and bared it on the tree. Took God's wrath and bared it on the tree that I may have a right to the tree of life, that you may have a right to the tree of life, that you may be saved from the pits of hell, that you won't have to burn and burn, burn forever because of your sins. If you go to hell, you're not going to hell because you're black. You're not going to hell because you're pretty. You're not going to hell because you're ugly. You're not going to hell because you sin. You're going to hell because you rejected the only atonement for your sin. And you told God, I don't want it. I don't need it. I'd rather die without Christ and go to hell than accept Jesus Christ. That's what the world is saying. That's what the world is doing. That's what the world is saying. And that's what the world is doing. Bible says, Jesus said, broad is the way that leadeth to the life. Hell is going to be full. Don't you know that? Hell is going to be full of people. It's going to be so full that Isaiah said, hell has enlarged itself. Go to Isaiah 5:14, say, hell has enlarged itself, and those that rejoice shall descend into it. Ooh, and a lot of people, as the brother said before I came on, he said one of the most powerful sins that people are going to hell for is sex, money, and prestige. And sex is devastating. It's taking people to hell by the minutes. People are sex maniacs, sex pornography, sex child pornography. Old folks, young folks, black folks, white folks, people involved with paganism, involved with all kind of incest of sex. It is killing people. It is driving right straight to hell because they don't want to turn from the lust. They don't want to turn from the fantasy of sex and the orgasm of sex. And the world is saying, forget about this God. Sex is my God. Money is my God. Prestige is my God. And hell is getting larger every day. Every day hell is getting larger. And a lot of people say, well, how many people are going to be in heaven? Ooh, a lot of people are going to be in heaven. Amen. Amen. Heaven is not going to be. It ain't going to be small. If you would check out your word of God, check out in Revelation. They tell me there's a city. There's a city in heaven right now, God has prepared. And that city's going to come down to earth during after millennium reign or during the millennium reign. And this city is 1,500 miles high, 1,500 miles long, and 1,500 miles wide. They tell me if you would populate that city, woo, you could populate that city with 53 billion people. People. You hear what I said? 53 billion people can populate that city. And let me tell you, that ain't all, because there's a country. Woo, there's a country. Amen. The city is a city and the country is a country. But let me tell you something. When judgment comes, you're going to find out on the great white throne. Great white throne. Revelation. John said, I saw a great white throne, and I saw the dead rise up, the wicked dead rise up. And when they rose up, the earth fled away. And at the great white throne, God himself, the angels and cherubim, and the saints of God is going to see people stretched out from one corner almost to eternity to the other eternity of the wicked people who rejected Jesus Christ during their lifetime, including from the book of Genesis all the way across until the end of the millennium reign of Jesus Christ. You're going to see the wicked dead stretched across the universe, and the earth is going to flee away from it. And they tell me the books are going to be open. And when the books are going to be open, the book of conscience, the book of memory, the book of acts, the books of works is going to come before them, and they're going to stand before the great white throne. And books will be opened. And if your name is not found written in the Lamb's Book of Life, they tell me, you're going to be cast into the lake of fire. And you say, well, what kind of people are going to be cast into the lake of fire? The Revelation 6 chapter. Here's what the people are going to say. Amen. These are the people, amen, going to be cast into the lake of fire. Listen what it says. Sixth chapter of Revelation, 14th verse to the 17th verse. This is what? The second coming of Jesus Christ. Listen what it says. And the heavens departed as a scroll, as it rolled together, and every mountain and island moved out of their places. And the kings, you hear what I say? The kings of the earth. And the great men of wicked, men of dictators and totalitarianism, men who have rejected God Almighty and his son, Jesus Christ, and the men and the chief captains and the mighty men, every bondman, every free man, hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains, and said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us, hide us from the face of him that sitteth upon the throne, and from the wrath of the Lamb, for the great day of the wrath is come. Who shall be able to stand? The rich men of this earth, the rich men of this earth, look at our rich men today. Look how rich and prosperous they are. Look over there in England. Look at in the United States. All our chief captains and all our bondmen, all of our great men, all of our mighty men, and every mighty man and every free man. They are not going to stand before the throne of God and praise God. They're going to call out to the mountains and the hills and the rocks, the movie stars, the Illuminati's. Woo, my God, let me get it. What kind of men we talking about? We're talking about men who have power on the face of the earth now. That's the physical power. And they are controlled by Luciferians. They are called secret societies. These secret societies, they are rich men, men of renown, men who worship who? Worship Satan. Or Satan worship. Listen here. Masonry, Freemasonry, the Octopus Deal secret society, the New Age movement, United Nations, the Club of Rome, the Knight Templars, Skull and Bone, the Illuminati, the Luciferians, the Council of Foreign Relations, the Bilderbergs, the European Union, the Jesuit. These are men that Revelation, the 6th chapter, the 14th verse is talking about. Men who are trying to overthrow the power of God. Men who try to defame Jesus Christ. Men who try to say that Jesus Christ was just a mere man. But I got some news for you. I got some news for you. Jesus Christ was a man, but he was more than a man. He was God Almighty in the flesh. He was God manifesting in the flesh. He was God of the ages. He's from here to every generation. He's the God of eternity, because God don't have no beginning and God don't have no end. But when he came down here, Jesus Christ was God in the flesh, manifested in the flesh, seen of angels, justified by the Spirit, received up into glory. But when he came, he didn't come just to be coming. He came to die. He come to die for the sins of the world. He come to die for the lost. He come to die for the black man. He come to die for the white man. He come to die for the Chinese and Jews. He come to die for the Hispanics. He come to die for the Russians. He come to die for every human being upon the planet of this earth. And when he died, whoa, yeah, he said, I'm going to lay down my life and I'm going to pick it up again. He said, I'm going to go down into the heart of the earth and stay down there 3 days and three nights. And on the third day morning, good God Almighty, look what he's going to do. He's going to come up out the grave on the third day. And the third day puts him on Sunday morning. He got up out the grave. And when he got up, the penalty of a sin was paid for. And when it was paid for, it was paid for the death of Jesus Christ. And there is no other man on the planet. There is no other captain. There is no other mighty man. There is no other free man. There is no kings upon this earth that ever died and came back to life. The only king of kings, the only king of kings and the Lord of lords was the only one that died and came back. Now, who are you going to worship? Who are you going to bow down to? Who are you going to repent to? Who are you going to answer to at the judgment? Who are you going to answer to you, whether you want to answer or not? Apostle Paul said, at the name of who? Jesus. Every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is God's son, God himself. Can you understand that? It took God's blood to redeem man. Only God. No other blood. No other blood, brother. No other preacher. My blood can't save nobody. And if my blood can't save nobody, neither can yours. I don't give you the popes of the popes. I don't give you the bishop of the bishop. I don't give you the elite, immaculate, whatever. Your blood can't save nobody. No occult blood can't save nobody. There's nobody else that has true salvation but Jesus Christ. Religion is driving people to hell. Hell is going to be full of religious folks, because religion is an act of service to whomever you believe in. And if you don't believe in Jesus Christ, which can really bring true religion, because you're serving the true God. And if you're serving the true God, the only way you can serve the true God is through his son. Because the Bible said God is a spirit, and those that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. But when the Antichrist comes, he will be a false Christ. And the false Christ is the Christ that they are going to worship more than they worship the true Christ. And Jesus Christ is the only true Christ. The false Antichrist is not Jesus Christ. The false Christ is the devil in the flesh. You hear what I said? the false Christ is going to be the devil in the flesh, but he don't become the beast. He don't become the beast until after his fake, phony, homemade resurrection that Lucifer has drawn up for the last 6,000 years. He has planned to bring this year utopia man on the planet so the world can witness a false religion, and majority of the world will receive the Antichrist. Even the Jews are going to believe that this man is their Christ, but this man will not be their Christ, and God's going to let the world witness it, that tell the Jew. The Jew are going to witness the greatest Holocaust that will ever hit this planet because they reject Jesus Christ. Until they repent and believe on the true Christ, then the Lord will deliver them. Yes, ma'am. Yes, that's going to happen. The Antichrist, the false Christ, is going to be received by the world more prevalent than Jesus Christ. The world is going to go hog wild over this man that's alive right now. He's alive right now, my friends. He is alive, and he is waiting for the proper time for him to come on the scene. And the world is getting ripe, real ripe for him to come, because they done tried 45 presidents, and they were not able to bring world peace. They done tried kings and princes and dictators and no world peace. They done tried every little avenue they can to bring peace to this earth. And let me tell you, no human being, no dictator, no antichrist, no demon, the devil, no Luciferian is going to bring true peace to this earth, because the earth belongs to the devil at this proper time. And Satan is running the government. He's running the economical system. He's running the political system. He's running everything. And guess what? He's making a stone mess out of it. He's messed up everything. He's trying to mess up the church. He's trying to get the church to go with him. But let me tell you, you may think the church has been defeated, but let me tell you what Jesus said. And Jesus said, up on the rock I'm going to build my church, and the gates of hell is not going to prevail against it. What are you going to build it out of? The Lord said. And the world said, what are you going to build it? I'm going to build it out of sinners. I'm going to call sinners out of the dark into the marvelous light. I'm going to call evangelists. I'm going to call prophets. I'm going to call preachers. I'm going to call deacons. I'm going to call, Lord have mercy, missionaries. I'm going to call them out and tell them to go out and tell the world that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. It's not the Pope. It's not the preacher. It's not nobody but Jesus Christ, because he is the one that took Calvary's cross and took the wrath of God, and they took the wrath of God, and then they laid him on a cruel cross and nailed him. Good God Almighty, they nailed him. They nailed him, and they stretched him wide, and they hung him high, and they let him hang for 6 long hours in the sun from 9 o'clock in the morning to 3 o'clock in the afternoon. He hung. Oh, yes, he did. It should have been me. It should have been you. It should have been your daddy. It should have been your sister. It should have been your brother. It should have been your uncle and your aunt, but they couldn't do nothing. They were on their way to hell. I was on my way to hell. Your mother was on your way to hell. But Jesus took it. He took my sins and your sins and nailed it to the cross. And then after he hung up there for 6 long hours, they tell me he finally was drained of his blood system. Every drop of blood was drained from his body, and his heart collapsed, and he dropped his head between the locks of his shoulder and gave up the ghost and said, it is finished. And then he went on down to the bowels of hell and preached to those in prison, and he told them, I come down here to set the captives free. He went to hell's gate and told Satan, I've got the victory. And he went over into paradise and told all those that died before Jesus Christ came and preached to Ezekiel, preached to Daniel and Isaiah, preached to Ruth and Naomi, preached to all Job, preached to Malachi, preached to Nahum, preached to all those that was in the bowels of the earth in paradise and told them, you can't get up out the grave until I get up. And then they tell me, 3 days and 3 nights. Oh, yes, he did. He shook hell up. You talk about shaking, rattle, and roll. The devil knees knocked together. The devil trembled like a bowl of jello going on a rocky road. He shook and said, I can't hold him in the grave. I can't hold him. I had all the old patriarchs, but this one I can't hold. No, he can't hold him. You know why he can't hold him? Because he was God. It was God through Jesus Christ that went into hell. It was Jesus Christ that went into hell. And Jesus Christ is God Almighty. And he went down there and he cleaned it out. The blood of Jesus Christ took all the Old Testament saints from paradise and brought him to heaven after the resurrection of Jesus Christ. They could not come out of paradise until the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And you say, well, why couldn't they come out? They couldn't come out because their sins had not been washed by the blood of Jesus Christ. The only blood that was able to cover their sins was the blood of lambs and turtle doves and red heifers and bullocks. That was a type and shadow of a better sacrifice, which was only Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the only sacrifice, my friends. Ain't no other sacrifice. None whatsoever. Take a trip. Take a trip from here to eternity. And if you could ever find the end of eternity, then you can change the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. If you find the end of eternity, then you can find another sacrifice other than Jesus Christ. And that means this. You ain't going to never find no other sacrifice than Jesus Christ. For his sacrifice was the ultimate sacrifice to save man, wretched me, liar, adulterous, fornicator, homosexuality, incest, murderers, liars, cheapskate, killers, mass murderers, all kinds of dross and sin that the human race have created, Jesus Christ paid the ultimate price. God Almighty. You hear what I say? I said God Almighty. Penalty through his son, Jesus Christ. And you talking about a beating? They beat Jesus so bad that no man could look upon his face and identify him as a son of God. That's what sin done to his body. That's what lying did, backbiting did, murdering did, drunkards, fornicators, homosexuals. That's what they did to him. And the world has become guilty. The whole world is nothing but a bunch of murderers, including me, including you, a bunch of murderers. We killed the Son of God through Satan's power that he had to get people to believe that he wasn't the Son of God. And they said Satan told the human race. You hear what I said? Satan told the human race, kill him. Get rid of him. We can't take this kind of living. We don't want to turn from our sins. We don't want to live right.
We want to do what we want to do and go where we want to go and say what we don't care nothing about this Christ. Kill him. And the world kill him. Don't blame it all on the Jew. The Gentiles is guilty and guilty of sin. And if you feel bad, put me on the top. As Apostle Paul said, chief of all sinners. I'm the chief one of all sinners, born out of due time. Because I was under Judaism. Paul said I was under Judaism so strong, I was kicking against the church until Jesus Christ stopped me on the road to Damascus. He came down and spoke to me, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? The apostle. And Saul said, Lord, who are you? He said, I'm Jesus. Don't you know it's hard to kick against the pricks? Apostle Paul said, what would you have me to do? Jesus said, go to Damascus to a street called Straight, and there you'll find Ananias, and he will tell you what I want you to do. And from that point on, Apostle Paul preached the gospel of Jesus Christ most of his lifetime. And he declared, I am persuaded that he's able to keep that which I committed to him against that day. He said, nothing can separate me from the love of God, which is found in Christ Jesus. He said, I preach nothing else but save Jesus and him crucified. I don't preach no other doctrine. I don't preach no other doctrine but the doctrine of Godhead and the doctrines of the Bible. And the highest doctrine in the Bible, the highest doctrine in the Bible, is in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God. The same, the beginning was God. By him, everything was made, and without him, nothing is made, because he made everything. God became flesh. That's the highest doctrine. You can't get no higher than that. Why? Because Christ is God Almighty. Thank you, Jesus, for your power that's in the blood. And the churches today don't claim the blood. A lot of churches don't claim the blood of Jesus Christ. A lot of churches don't claim the deity of Jesus Christ. A lot of churches don't backslid and they're teaching everything but the Godhead of Jesus Christ. He said, I am Alpha. I am Omega. I am the last. I'm not the second one in the Trinity. I'm not the third one in the Trinity. I'm not, but the first one in the triune God. Self-existence. All three persons are one. And you say, well, who did God talk to when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane? Who did Jesus talk to? Jesus was talking to himself. God himself. Let this cup pass from me. The humanity met divinity. And humanity was saying, let this cup pass from me. Not my will, but your will be done. And divinity said, let thy will be done. And Jesus got up and went to Calvary. Went down to the judgment hall. Went out on the whooping lash. And they crucified him that morning and drove him on Calvary's mountain. And he died. Oh, yes, he died. The whole earthquake. There was an eclipse during the crucifixion, and it was not scheduled. It was scheduled when Christ died. It was a supernatural eclipse. And what happened? The sun went out, and the moon turned to blood with high blood pressure. And Jesus Christ went down. Let me tell you now. I'll tell you where he went. He didn't go to Walmart. He didn't go to Gabe's. He didn't go to no company store. He didn't go to the grocery store. Let me tell you where he went. He didn't go to no football game, basketball game. No. Let me tell you where he went. He went to H.E. Hale, and he preached and went to the lower bowels of the earth and preached to those in prison. He preached to every demon, every demigod, every Nephilim, all these wicked angels, and he preached to the patriarchs was down there in what? Paradise. A compartment in the earth before the New Testament came. And he told them, as I told you before, he told them, I come to set every born again patriarch that was under the blood of the lambs and turtle doves and bullocks to deliver you out of paradise and take you to heaven, because I have sanctified your soul, I have sanctified your mind and your spirit, and now you're able to come in the presence of God blameless, blameless, sinless, no sin nowhere in your soul or in your spirit. You are qualified to go in the presence of God. But without the blood, you are not qualified to stand before the judgment seat of Christ if you have not been sanctified by the Holy Spirit. So ain't nobody going to heaven unless you have been born of the Spirit. The Holy Ghost is your birthright. And when you confess with your mouth, listen to what I'm saying. You confess with your mouth and believe with your heart that God absolutely resurrected his own self from the dead and got up on the third day morning with all power in heaven and earth for your sins, and you confess your sins to him, the Bible says, thou shalt be saved tonight. Tonight, right now, you can be saved. Sitting on the toilet seat, going outside, in your bedroom, wherever. You can hang upside down and confess Jesus Christ is the Savior of your soul. And you believe with your heart that he rose from the dead and confess it. Because if you never confessed that you were a sinner and never repented, and if you died with an unrepentant spirit, don't go to hell. Because when you get there, you're going to ask, hear this, why didn't I accept him? Because you thought, or what some preacher said, you thought, or what you thought, and what you try to figure out the scripture in the Bible, that scripture meant that, and it didn't mean that. You thought that you could get on your skirt tail of your mom or your daddy. You thought your education. You thought that your money could do. You thought that you could get to heaven without repenting of your sins and receiving Christ in your life. It's as simple as ABC. There's no excuses for nobody on this planet to go to hell. There's no excuses. Not for me. Not for my daddy or my mother. Not for nobody. But the world today, just like the Bible said, would happen in the last days down to the T. There shall be a falling away from the faith of Jesus Christ and his ultimate sacrifice. People have fallen away from the faith. And that means, that don't mean the saint falling away. It means those that don't know Jesus Christ don't want to accept nothing that consists of the blood of Christ. They are going after all kinds of different religion, falling away, falling away. And be compromised with the word of God, falling away. And now we're in a terrible time, an awesome time. We are living just before the seventh week spoken by Daniel the prophet. The seventh week is for the Israelites or for the Jewish people to preach the gospel after the rapture of the church. And the Jews are getting ready. They're getting their temple ready. They're getting the two heifers ready. They're getting the Ark of the Covenant ready. And as we go into 2022, oh, my God, my God, my God, it's going to be awesome. It's going to be an eye-opener. Don't you worry about no corona, because corona ain't nothing compared to what's getting ready to happen of the 28th judgment that's going to fall upon this earth. And God, ain't no use you getting mad at God, because he's going to bring judgment. Now is the time for you to receive Christ as your personal Savior. This is Elder G. Bizarre coming to you from where? Warren, Ohio, down there in Atlanta, Georgia, on up into Dallas, Texas. I thank Brother Tim for tonight for holding the fort up for me, man. I'm glad I didn't miss it, because I feel bad if I would have missed it, but I at least got an hour in. Be in next Wednesday. I'll be on time. Amen. And I'll be on the Sunday at 5 o'clock. Brother Tim will be with me. We love you out there. We love you. 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 If anybody listening, grab a friend. Next time I come on, let's see what the Word of God said, and quit going around with these clowns, these preacher clowns that we have. God is good all the time. All the time, God is good. Father, we thank you this afternoon for your Word. We thank you for your love and your mercy. We ask you right now in Jesus' name, say, confess, believe, accept in Jesus' name. We thank you. I'll see you next Wednesday. God bless.